Brother Abayisai, we've established from the discussions that we had till now that we do the mitzvah of Mahadrim and Mahadrin. The purpose of Mahadrim and Mahadrin, stage 3, is in order to let the people who see the menorah know that tonight is the first night, tonight is the second night. In other words, it tells the public, the people who are seeing the menorah, it tells them exactly which night it is. And we learnt that women are as mechuyev in the mitzvah of hadlokah as men. Because they were involved in the Ness, the decrees were against the women as well. They were also part of the Yeshua. And therefore we said that women, the Gemara and Daf Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, that women noshim vadai madlikois, that they also have the chiyev. So the minhag has developed. Although the Rambam said that the Baal HaBayis will light 10 menorahs if there are 10 people in the house, but the minhag has developed that people, over the years, the minhag seems to have developed that people are lighting their own menorahs. Each person lights a menorah for himself. And the question is, in that case, why don't all the ladies light menorah as well with a brocha? In the same way that the men light menorah with a brocha, you've got 5 people, I don't know, you've got a father and 4 sons in the house, then you'll light 5 menorahs and each one will make his own brocha. So for Wadin, if you've got a mother and 4 girls in the house, then they ought to light as well. So one argument is, as far as the wife is concerned, the poskim say simply ishtoi kagufoi. They say that she is yotza with the lighting of her husband. And the Mefarshim asked the Kasha, and why Dafke in the mitzvah of Chanukah were they mechadish this idea of mitzvah of Ishtoi Kegufoi? There could be other mitzvahs that we could also say Ishtoi Kegufoi. And then they say, this is the makor, if you like, as to why the ladies are not lighting, is because the minhag originally was that the men lit at the front door of the house. They went down to the street, they lit at the front door of the house. It meant bending over, it meant being in public, it meant going outside the house. And we learned the kol kavudo basmalech penimo. There would be, if you think of the lighting of the menorah at the bottom of a block of flats, and you get all the people in the different flats all mixing together, and you'd have the men and the ladies all mixing at the base where they're all vying for the best places in order to light the menorah. And therefore Chazal were not happy with that. Chazal were not happy with the risk of tznius, with the risk of a lack of tznius at the public lighting, if you like, at the in the limited space that you have near the door. And therefore Chazal made takonas about the ladies. They said the wife will not light because she's the yotza with the husband's lighting. And the girls will not light because of kol kavudo basmelech penimo. And seeing as there's somach, yeah, because there's a problem with tznius, and because of the tznius, it would be better that they should all be yoitzer with the lighting of the father. Therefore, it comes out that the girls, the wife is ishto kegufoi, the girls are yoitzer with the lighting of their father, mainly because of the risk of tznius, or the lack of tznius, at the lighting downstairs. And the boys do light the menorah, mishum chinuch, because when they will be adults, they will have to light the menorah as the Baal HaBayis, and therefore mishum chinuch, the boys light them. So the Baal HaBayis lights to be moitzi his household. He's moitzi his wife, he's moitzi his daughters. And then the boys themselves could be also yotze from him, but because of chinuch, we encourage the boys to light their own menorah and to make brocha.
Started at Torah in Northwest London on Monday, Dalad Cheshvan, 24th November, Rabbi Jeremy Golke Shlita, setting traps for students and employees. This week's Torah is sponsored by Nishmas Rav Yitzchak Ben Rabbi Shai Yohu Zichron Levrocha, because Yatzad is coming Shabbos, and Nishmas, our founder, Rav Yosef Dov, Ben Rav Shimon Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zichron Levrocha.
Thank you. Okay, good morning. It's lovely to be back here in the Torah Way. Share with you, I hope everyone's got a handout, a fascinating topic. It's entitled Setting Traps for Students and for Employees. And it is, we always try and find a connection to this, to the week's Parsha. In this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayetze, you have the paragon of an honest employee. Yaakov Avinu works for Lavan for 20 years, and despite working for someone who tries to cheat him and is a crook, Yaakov shows us as an example of how to be an honest employee. And therefore, we're going to discuss today, it's a good segue into talking about a topic where you have an employee who perhaps is not honest. Many years ago in school, I remember a young lady came to me and said she had an interesting situation at home. They suspected, and everyone's got their own stories, but they suspected that the cleaner was stealing from the home. And in particular, the mother noticed some of her dresses were missing. So they put up a webcam in front of the camera. The father was at work, the mother was at work, and there was a little screen in the corner of their computer at work, at both of their places of work. And they watched, and a few days later, sure enough, the wife calls the husband and says, quickly, go and have a look at the screen, turn it on, make sure it's on. And it turned out that she opened the cupboard, this cleaner, and she took out a dress and she put it, stood in front of the mirror just to see that it looked nice on her, and she folded it up, put it in her bag. So when that student asked me, is that okay with any problems? I didn't see any particular problem with that. But what about other situations? What about if you suspect your cleaner is taking things from you, could you leave some money, a £20 note, a $50 bill? Could you leave it out? That is, if you sort of mislaid it and you mark it up and that you know which one is yours, and then you give her $50 and £50, and she gives you change, and sure enough, the change she gives you is the £20 note that you left out that she's taken from you. Are you allowed to put a trap out for an employee? And what about a child? You want to know if your child has Yirat Shamayim. Are you allowed to put a trap out? Now, what's the problem? The problem is lifnei iver. Because you are tempting that person to steal. What? If you put out a £20 note and it's very it's very tempting and they're gonna steal it, maybe that's a shaila of lifnei iver. If you take a look at the sheet, and if you're listening online, it goes on other platforms, then email me at j.golker@gmail.com, I'll send you the handout. But take a look at the first box. The Gemara in Moed Katan says this. We'll have to go quickly because there's a lot of material. Sorry? Let's have a look. Look at the first, look at this. Amda debei Rebbe, chazisa lahu gavra. The maid servant of Rebbe saw a certain person, davamachi libnei gadol. He was beating his older son. Omrali havahu gavra b'shamta. She said that that person, that father, should be put in cheirim. To ka'ova mishum lifnei ebele sit in michshol. Why? Says Rashi, to kivin de gadol hu shem mevayet b'ova. Because the child might hit back on the father. And the father's caused the child to hit him back, violating kibud avim, and therefore you're over lifnei iver. So too, if you're leaving some money out, you're tempting the person to steal, that's a shaila of lifnei iver. Now look at this, there's an amazing makor. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Lamed Beis Lamed Aleph, this is the second box on the page, Rav Huna kara shiroi ba'anpei rabba b'rei. Rav Huna wanted to test his son to see if his son had Yirat Shamayim, where he's holding. So he went to his son's cupboard and he said, tell me, is this your favorite Shabbos jacket? Is this your favorite Shabbos tie? And the kid said, yeah. He took the tie and he ripped it up in front of him to see if the kid is going to get angry. Ozel, Echzi, Rosach, Ile Rosach. I'm going to see if my child is going to get angry or not. Says the Gemara, but how can he do that? The Dilma Rosach, maybe he would get angry. The Ka'ova Lifnei Iver Lisitin Michshol. If the child gets angry and starts screaming and kicking back at his father for destroying his Shabbos clothes, he'll be over the he'll violate Kibud Av Ve'Em and he'll get angry. Says the Gemara, the Mochle Likare, the father was moichel his kavod. In other words, we know that there's a concept of kibud aveim. We know that the father can make his kavod. I often say to the kids in school, when I try and bring this point out, I say to them, tell me, how many of you stand up when your parents walk in the room? And then occasionally there's one hand that goes up in a full room. And I say, so, but it's an open halacha. Why don't you do it? So I presume the others don't do it because they assume their parents are meichel their kavod. And of course, most parents are. But I always tell the students, I always tell them, that it's actually a good thing to do. Not necessarily every time, at least once a day, that your mother, your father walks into the room to stand up. It's a sign of respect. It's the right thing to do. And by the way, they should always check their parents are moichel their kavod. Because it's a mitzvah to stand up. Anyway, so says the Gemara in Kiddushin, that he took his son's, he wanted to check if the son is going to get angry. He ripped up his Shabbos clothes in front of him. And says the Gemara, how can you do that? It's lifnei iver. You're triggering the child to violate Kibbutz Aim to get angry. So the Gemara says, no, he won't. There's not a problem because the father was Meichel his covet. What's the problem with that? The problem with that is the child doesn't know.
Yeah.
So he's screaming back at his father. So how does the kid doesn't know? The kid is screaming and shouting at his father and he's violating Kibbutz Aim. So good, the father's been Meichel his covet. But the son doesn't know. So it says Tosis over there, but Tzorich Leimah Shehidiyu Kodim Lochem, you've got to say that the father must have told the son beforehand, right? So, which by the way, it sort of makes the test a little bit hard. So you've got to say, the father said to the son, look, whatever happens in the next 5 minutes, I'm Moichel my covet. Okay, you got that? Good. Right, is this your favorite Shabbos tie? And then he rips it up, and then you've got to say that. It takes away the whole, you know, the power of the test a little bit, but that's what he says. Now, what does Tosis say? Tosis says, I'll prove it to you, because otherwise you've got a problem of a Gemara at the end of Kiddushin, of Nischav and Lechel Bosser Chazir, Va'ol Abiyodah Bosser Tzileh, to Omele Kamon in the last parak in Pe'al from Beis, Shetzorich Mechil of Kapar. What's that talking about? So it's a fascinating case. Imagine the following. Right now I'm on half term, that's why I'm here. I'm not skipping school. So imagine, instead of coming to the Torah Way, I wanted to go on a beautiful hike. So I take a couple of days off. Sunday morning I take a plane to Aberdeen, and I'm going to walk in the Scottish Highlands. And I'm walking there, and it's glorious weather, and it's beautiful, and I'm walking, but I forget to take any food. And at the end of the first day, it's Sunday afternoon, I've been walking, hiking for many hours, and I'm starving, hungry. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing in the middle of it's deserted lands, highlands, I see there's a pub. Yeah, where every good village has a pub and something else. And I go to the pub, and I walk in there, and I'll buy something. And then I see they've got a special. Today's special. What's today's special? There's a hamburger, a double hamburger, whatever, you know, with it laid up, piled up high, for £1.99, right? And I'm going in there, and I see this, and I'm starving, hungry. I look around, not a soul in sight. Temptation gets the better of me. If ever there was a time, no one's going to know. I put my baseball cap on, and that was just some of my Heksha Stempel, and then sunglasses, yeah, and collar up, and then I order the special, and I'm sitting there in the corner, and I'm chomping into this hamburger. Halfway through, a guy comes out with a long beard from behind the counter, and he looks at me, because you can always tell. Shalom Aleichem, he says to me, welcome to our new Chabad house, and I hope you're enjoying this Big Mac, because it's glatt kosher. Glatt kosher. So have I been over in Avera? How do they look at that in heaven? Have I been over in Avera when I'm chomping through what I think is chazer treif, and actually it turns out it's glatt kosher? What's the halacha? So the Gemara says in the end of Kiddushin, and this is what Tosis is quoting, look at this, I intend to eat treif, but it turns out that it's kosher. I need a mechila. I think I'm eating treif. It turns out that it's kosher. I need a mechila kapara. You're going to ask me that the Gemara says in the end of Kiddushin also that if a person has the intention to do a mitzvah but doesn't fulfill it, for example, after this year I'm going to go and help an old lady to go and do her shopping. I knock on her door and she says, oh, that's very kind of you, but don't worry, someone did it for me yesterday. But since I intended to do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mitzaref machshav al ha'maisa, and therefore I'm going to get the mitzvah. But if I intended to do an avera, I was going to go across to the old lady and steal and mug and whatever and steal her purse, and the door's locked and she's out and I can't do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't punish me. So how come if you intend to do an avera, you don't get punished, but in this situation, I intended to do an avera, and yet you're going to get punished? What's the difference? The difference is that if you act on the avera, you act on the machshava, I intended to eat this hamburger, and I dig in and I eat it, so then I'm going to get punished. And that's what the Gemara refers to, and that's what Tosfos says. So therefore, coming back to our situation, if I want to leave a trap, I want to put out some money, so that the employee or my child or whoever, I want to see if they've got Yerushalmi, they're going to take it, says Tosfos, you've got a problem. Why? Because it's Lifnei Iver. And then you're encouraging them, you're making it tempting for them to take it. So therefore, you've got a problem. Now, the Ritva argues. If you take a look at the next box in paragraph 4, the Ritva says, on this Gemara in Kiddushin, he ripped up his son's clothes and he wanted to see if he was getting angry. And then the Gemara says, but he was moichel his kavod, and therefore it's not a problem. Says the Ritva, the same kasher as Tesis. Kasheri, tohomikom mokom lo yod abreid the moichel elikare. So what is moichel his kavod? The kid didn't know. If you intend to do the Avera and you act out and then it turns out that it's actually kosher, you've got the Avera. So it turns out that he was violating Kibbutz Avim, he was screaming and shouting at his father, and then it turned out that the father was motionless covered. So what? You've done the Avera. Says the Ritva, the Efsha, the beloved, the Lifnei Iver lo sitzin michshol. Maybe Lifnei Iver is different. Why? Pshehu lav koilel. It's a general love. It covers, it's a general love that covers all Averas. If I tempt you to steal, I tempt you to eat trade, if I tempt you to do anything, that's Lifnei Iver. It's a love kolel, maybe there different rules apply. And therefore, you know, lo machmirin and kulahai, says the Ritva, v'sharin and b'hochi, k'telenasayse ladrich b'derech yishori rosach, and therefore, for educational purposes, maybe it would be allowed. Okay, adkan. Now, what's the idea? I want to test him as follows. Let's explain the situation. I want to see if my employee is honest. So I've got a cleaner, let's say, or I've got a worker in the factory or wherever. So I put out a £20 note, and I put a little mark in the corner somewhere. I know it's that £20 note. And then I want to see if he's going to take it. So there's a problem of Lifnei Iver. I get that. So what, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make that £20 note hefka. Or, better, I'll be mezakeh it to the employee. I can do that. Shalei b'fonov. Or either way, it's Hefka or it's his, and therefore there's no problem of Lifnei Iver, L'chaira. But the problem is that he doesn't know about it. He doesn't know it's Hefka. He thinks it's my £20 note, which he's stealing. So therefore, is that allowed? So this L'chaira would be a machlekes between the Tosfos and the Ritva. According to Tosfos, I've got a problem. Because I can't do it because it's Lifnei Iver. And if he goes ahead and steals, then it's a problem of nischav lechol boso chazir v'ola b'yod boso tle. He thought it was treif. It was like me sitting in my Scottish Highland pub, eating the Big Mac, thinking it's treif, and it turns out that it's glatt kosher because this is the new Chabad outpost. So therefore, it's not allowed. And therefore, Tosfos has to come on to the answer that I must have informed him previously. And therefore, that's not going to help me in the case of a test with an employee. Mashenken, according to the Ritva, maybe it will help. Now, interestingly, this exact situation came up to the Ben Ish Chai. Take a look at the bottom of the paragraph 5. She'ela, im mutal nasis ha-mesharis, im hu ne'eman afal pi she'yesh chashash libneva. Am I allowed to test the mesharis? Exactly our case. Can I put out a £20 note to see whether he's going to be tempted to take it? Maybe he will take it, and therefore I violated the Lifnei Iver. I've caused him, I've triggered him to take it. And don't say, I've got a great idea, I'll take the £20 note and I'll be makna it. Please be kona this on behalf of my employee. That's not going to help. That doesn't help. Because it turns out that he'll be taking his own money. But that doesn't work, says the Ben Ish Chai. Since the guy who steals it doesn't know that it's his, he thinks he's stealing. So it doesn't help him. So it's not going to help. And then he brings a great raya. What's the raya? He brings a raya from the end of Gemara in Kiddushin. Daf pe'ala from the base. The Gemara tells a very interesting story. That Reb Chiya Ba'Abba, one of the great Tamaroim, would say every day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should save me from the Yetzer Hara. Shmatinu de Beiseu. I've contracted the quote of the Gemara. His wife heard him say this every single day. Kosh, so she said, she was wondering, like, really, what is your challenge? Why are you so tempted every day by that? You've got to say, Harachman or Yatzlinu Yetzer Hara. So listen to this. Kosh to Nafsha. She made herself look beautiful. She put a makeup on. Chofa Vasonya came in, she walked in front of him, and he thought that she was a Zayna. Tava, she propositioned her, and lived with her. He then came home that evening. Tanura. His wife was sort of preparing the oven for supper or something. Solik v'koyosid begaveh. He felt so remorseful about what he did. He went and sat in the oven. Omale maihai. She said to him, "Darling, why are you sitting in the oven?" Omalos. He said to her, "Hochi v'hochi have a maisa. This is what happened. Omrele anohava. It was me. Don't worry." Omalos. So he said to her, "Ana mi el isurei chavni. Okay, thank you, but I intended to do an avera." And the Gemara concludes, "Kol yomav shalois tzadik hoy misana at shemais ba'isa misa." That his whole life he was so remorseful about what he did. He would do tshuva, he would fast, and until he died from his that self affliction. And the Gemara carries on. He died. Desanya isha haforim Hashem yislach lo. That it talks about a person who doesn't, we'll see, but Mehesh HaKos Medav, what's the Torah talking about? A woman makes a Naziris, and the husband undoes it, but she doesn't know about it. And she violates the Naziris by drinking wine, or Zmatame, Lemesim. Rebbe Kiva, when he got to this Pasuk, he would cry. If a person who intended to eat Chazer, but actually ate kosher food, Omrotera tzricha kapara v'slicha. A person needs kapara and slicha. Mi shenischaven v'chula alachas kama v'kama. So again, then other sources for that as well. So it turns out, says the Ben Ish Chai, that it's not allowed because the person thought they were doing an avera, taking the £20 note. They didn't realize it was not a ma'aser gneiva because they thought it was theirs, and therefore, says the Ben Ish Chai, it's osa and clearly like going like Tosfos. Now a similar case came up with the Chashuke Chemet, Reb Zilberstein, the son of Reb Eliashiv, the great Reb Zilberstein, who seems to be a magnet for very interesting questions. What was the case? There was a thief in the mikveh. What happened? You know, if you think about it, it's a great location to steal, because people go in there, they get undressed, they leave their clothes out, they're going into the shower, then they go into the mikveh. You know, they're away from their clothes for a good 5 minutes, however long. Sometimes it can be very long. And I was once in the Eretz Yisrael in the mikveh, and there was a fellow there. He was toveling. He was doing 613 tefillahs in each corner of the mikveh. Right? So how did he do it? Yeah, you get a headache. Yeah. So he was under, and he was just, you know, he was he did finger out 613 times in each corner. Okay, so you could be there for a while. You know, the point is the thief has got plenty opportunity to steal. Right? So what happened was, the Shaila came in to the Zilberstein that there's a suspected thief in the mikveh who was going around the sort of changing room and going through people's pockets and taking valuables. So they wanted to do a trap. They wanted to leave a wallet, you know, with a £50 note marked up, and then they would catch him and they would see that it was him, and that would be it. So the question is, are you allowed to do it? So says the Chashuke Chemet, if you look at paragraph 6, the tshuva. He goes, "I've got an eitzah pshuta. I've got a good eitzah for you." V'hi shebalabayis yimchol mirosh al kaspoi. The balabayis will be moichel his money at first. He'll leave the £50 note. He'll be making hefka kedis v'kiddushin, and therefore he's not a lifneiver because the guy is not doing a ma'aser gneiva because he's taking something which is hefka. No problem. Omnom says the Chashuke Chemet tais v'sham kasvu v'tzarich loy meshediu kodem lachem. It doesn't work. You've got to tell him beforehand. It's not going to help you. Because if the guy is thinking that he's stealing, and you've planted the trap, then you have violated Lifnei Iver, and he has been over an Issa of Gneva of some sort. Therefore, says the Chashuke Chemet, Lechor is not allowed. However, says the Chashuke Chemet, there could be room for some leniences. How so? So first of all, he quotes the case of a Sridesh. If you look at paragraph 6a at the end there isn't time to go through, there's loads of material on this. But if you look at the end of 6a, he says, there's something a bit problematic about it. Are you telling me that when I go to the mikveh and I leave my jacket outside and my wallet is in my jacket, that I'm over lifnei iver because somebody could steal it? It sounds a little bit far-fetched. Ve'ein svar, if you look at the last line in 6a, ve'ein svar le'eser le'odim laniach hafeitzov b'lo shmira, there can't be an issa on a person to leave my possessions without protection. Mechasha shema yovei odim v'yignov, that maybe someone will come and steal it. Ve'yavu b'lifne iver, v'posha she'ein kan issa shalifne iver. It seems very difficult to suggest that. To say that I'm leaving my clothes, my valuables unprotected, I'm over lifne iver if somebody takes it, that's number one. And number two, you could say as well that there's another svara to be matir to allow you to do this trap, to leave the marked note that this person will take it, because ultimately there's a communal need. You've got a communal problem. You've got a thief in the mikveh. And therefore, you've got to try and correct or resolve that particular problem. If you look at 6b, v'nira d'yesh oid mokum lahatir, maybe there's another ground to allow it, v'zois, and that is, k'dei sh'al yidei kein yishome ha'ganav b'gnevis labo, you're preventing future burglaries. V'yitochein, and perhaps, k'dei lachshil pamachas b'cheit shel gneva, maybe it's worth letting him do one aveira now, i.e. taking the marked note, that he's going to prevent, you'll catch him, you'll speak to him, and you'll prevent who knows how many future thefts. And that's not considered a michshel. On the contrary, you're correcting his terrible behavior. And I've got a proof, says the Chashukei Chemed. What's the proof? A Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, the Kuf Tezayin Medalef, tells the story of Imeshalim. What's the case of Imeshalim? Imeshalim was the wife of Rebbe Eliezer and the sister of Rebbe Gamliel. So she wanted to expose this fraudulent person. He was a min, Rashi says, a judge, who would take bribes. So what did she do? She gave him a bribe. She gave him a golden lamp or something and said, listen, I've got a din Torah. Could I come to a din Torah? So he said, with pleasure. He said, and she said, it's an old story. The Gemara says that me and my brother, Rebbe Gamliel, We inherited our deceased parents, Yerusha, and I want to know, do I get a share? And the judge says, yes, the times have changed, and the boy and the girl inherit equally, which is not according to Torah law. And he obviously only said that because she had bribed him with this, and basically the Gemara tells the whole story, how they exposed him, and he gave another bribe, a donkey. In short, they exposed him. So you see that you're allowed to do it for a public good, and so he says there, if you look, look at the next paragraph in 6b, how could Imeshalam and Gamliel go ahead with this, to bribe him twice, with a lamp and with a donkey? Hari ben Noach mitzuv ala sheichad, Ben Noach is also mitzuv ala sheichad, k'mavu b'ramban, of minchas chinuch, t'avi b'chlal dinim, part of the shev mitzvah Noach. You've got Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet and the Gimel Averis Chamuras. The Gimel Averis Chamuras, Shvich HaTom and Averis Zohar Gil Arayas, and Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet is Eiv Menachai, Birchas Hashem. Gimel is, just gone blank, and Dalet is Dinim. What? Gezel, thank you. And Dalet is Dinim. So included in Dinim is Sheichat. So how can they do that? You're doing Lifnei Iver on causing this judge to be over the Issa of Sheikhah by taking this thing. And therefore, the answer is, Rashi, you're exposing his terrible behavior, that the guy is corrupt. It's Kedai that he's over this Issa of Sheikhah, taking bribes, once, so that you're now exposing him that he won't do it in going ahead. So therefore, a second possible heta is that you're allowed to violate the issa once in order to expose him and to prevent further violations. That's number.
This was a non-Jewish judge.
So the Gemara, Rashi says he was a min. Rashi says he was a min, which l'chor means he was a non-Jewish judge who was a min, who was a non-believer, and therefore the issue is you're giving him a sheichat is violation of lifnei iver for this non-Jewish person to violate one of the shevim mitzvah nirach. Which one? Dinim, because the Ramban says that sheichat is bichlal dinim. Yeah, and there's discussion.
Why were they referring the case of the Yerusha to a koi?
I don't. They did it. So when he says when he presented this to Rabbi Yashiv, his father-in-law, Rabbi Yashiv says that wasn't her motive, and it was different going on there, and she wouldn't violate the sheikhad. It was just they were doing it just to expose him, but they weren't really taking a din Torah there. They wouldn't have gone to him for a din Torah. They did it to expose him that he was a crook, he was a fraudulent judge. Okay, and so there we go. Now, so let's. We're running out of time, so maybe it's a good point to summarize where we're up to. Again, the question is, why are we talking about it on Parshas Vayetze? Because Yaakov Avinu is the exemplar of the honest employee. What if you have someone who is not honest? Are you allowed to try and tempt them by putting out a note, setting a trap in order for them to be exposed as not an honest employee? Or you want to do it for your own child to see if your child is honest, he will take money that doesn't belong to him or to her. So the problem, lechara, is lifnei evel lo sitzin michshol. Is there an eitzah to be mafkir the money, to make it ownerless, so that when they take this money, they're actually not committing they're not stealing, they're not committing the crime of theft, and you therefore are not evel, lifnei evel. Is that an eitzah? So according to Tosfos, it's not going to help you. Why? Because Tosfos says over there, when the father wanted to test the child and rip the clothes, the Gemara says it's lifnei evel. You're causing him to stumble on this. So the Gemara says you've got to tell him beforehand. And therefore, if you don't tell them beforehand, you've got a problem, says Tosfos. Why? Because otherwise you've got a problem. That they're intending to eat treifa meat, but it turns out that it's kosher meat. Says Tosfos, that's a problem. And therefore, if they think they're stealing, you've got a problem. And therefore, it's not going to help you. Like the case in the Scottish Highlands, if you think you're eating treif and it's actually kosher, sorich slicha v'kapara. So therefore, so too here, it's going to help. It says the Ritva, maybe Lifnei Evel is different, it's a Lav Kolel, and it could be for educational purposes, it would be allowed. So therefore, bottom line is, are you allowed to leave this trap out? It seems to be a Machlekes, Tosfos and the Ritva. Tosfos would say no, the Ritva would say perhaps it would be okay. The Ben Ish Chai clearly goes with Tosfos and says that it's not an eitzah to do that. However, the Chashukei Chemed says, he leaves it, if you look at the last line, Adayin Tzorichi in Godli Mutter, it's still very questionable, but he does give you a bit more, sort of, he pushes a few ideas, why perhaps it would be Mutter, and the three reasons to be Matir, number one is Kedei Lehinotzel, you're doing it to save future occurrences and for a communal good, otherwise there are thieves in the mikvah and who knows what. And number two, you've got the case of the svar of the Shrideish says, it seems untenable that I can't leave my jacket in the mikvah because maybe someone's going to steal something and there will be over lifnei evel. You can be mechalek and say there's a difference between just leaving my jacket in the mikvah and leaving a £20 note in a place where he thinks I've lost it and he might take it. There's a chilul between that. And the third case is the case of Imashalim, where Rabbi Silberstein is of the opinion that is a good precedent that you're allowed to expose crooked behavior if it's for a public good where it's going to save further violations on his part point of view, and also for the tzibur, the thief in the mikveh or corrupt judge or whatever it may be, you will be allowed to do it. So either way, it's a fascinating topic, and I think it's actually connected to this week's Sedra, but of course the benchmark is Yaakov Avinu, and he sets the bar of how a person should behave, whether it's an employee, a child, or anybody.
When I worked in Laguda, there was a lady there on the desk who we were people paying cab fees. Adverts, so we put £5. Left hand, she took it,
and one of my colleagues phoned her. Must have in person.
Very fascinating.
It's called in English agent provocateur. And it's forbidden. Agent provocateur.